How to plan out an artist career in 2024. This is a huge question, and today I want to lay out as quickly as possible and hopefully concisely and helpfully the constituent parts of how I see a career evolving in 2024. And luckily for you guys, this is not just my opinion. This is a combination of what I've seen to work previously, what I've seen to be changing this year, based on great advice from Jerome Menard. When I was out in Los Angeles this year, we had some fantastic conversations about how he's seen things to be changing. What are the current kind of patterns that are going to affect what it's like to be an artist this year? Even talking to Alex Garingas during the trip, before the trip, understanding how he has seen the industry change in his wisdom, in his years. And also another part of this inspiration for this was working with Isabella Hambolelli, who is a fantastic human being that I'm now lucky enough to be working with, and essentially trying to not only write great songs, because I want to talk about the importance of great songs, and Jerome said the same thing, but also trying to think, how do you start a career? I have to admit, when I first kind of got this project, I went, shit, this is quite a big thing. This is someone's career. This is essentially what they might well be doing for the rest of their life, in Izzy's case, because she's just crazily driven to do this. And every time I tell her about the reality of being an artist, she goes, cool, let's do it. Every time I tell her how difficult it can be, how long it can take, she goes, great, but how do we do it? What do we work on? What do we focus on? And I had a session with her this morning at 5 a.m., which is awesome for the time zone, as I'm back here in France now. Hopefully going to go out there again this year, maybe catching each other here in Europe and just really working hard. So as I said, this is based on a couple of things. Also working with La La Luna. I remember having a session with her when I was out in Los Angeles. She just got off a plane and she'd found a kind of cafe where she could just sit pretty much still. I could hear the announcements, you know, really committed to what she's doing. And we sat and we looked at the plan that she has for this year and also the plan that she has around her brand, because each of these things I'm going to talk about today could be done ad nauseum, done for hours. And in fact, some of them are not my specialist area, but you have to understand the importance of each of these constituent parts to a career. And just working with Lala and seeing how much she'd taken care of since the last time I'd spoken to her, was mind-blowing. And even, you know, we reviewed one of her songs recently. You can hear her progress. You can go and see what she has been doing. So I'm going to go through the elements as I see them, and I'm going to try and give you some context and advice. But I very much advise that you maybe have a pen ready or that you listen back a couple of times to this, because it's quite specific. These are things that you will know. But this is at least how I'm seeing it this year, and I'm willing to stand behind it because I'm putting it into practice. Whereas before I would be thinking about it, speculating, but never having to really see if it works. Whereas this year I'm going to be laying this out. And then as I work with ears, as I work with more and more clients in different ways on their albums, on their records, on their careers overall, I'm going to start to adjust this and be honest in that sense too of, okay, tried this, didn't work. Tried this, doesn't work. This is how I'm seeing it. So just before we do that, it reminds me of something I've been saying for a while, even to myself, painfully to myself, because you realize what is missing. But when people ask me, what do I need to be a musician? What do I need for a career in music? And even these are questions I've asked myself endlessly over the years. And it's not one specific thing. It's not as easy to track this as you might think. We can look at all of our favorite artists and go, oh, wow, it's this, wow, it's this, wow, it's that. But I want to take the example of Taylor Swift. What is it about her that makes her the most successful artist I think we have? She's only 34 or 35. It's not one thing. It is everything. Again, I'm going to say it. When you want to have a career as a musician in the fully realized sense, where people come and talk to me and talk about their goals, and they might mention something kind of in the next 6 months, but I go, hey, what is that secret one you're talking about? What is the one you dream about? It's stadiums, it's writing albums, it's working with fantastic people, it's going all over the world and being seen for what you bring as a human being and what you bring as a creative, right? So again, with Taylor Swift, it's not one thing, it is everything. So I want to have that as kind of an overarching thing of, you know, her live performance, her music videos, her interactions with her fans, her handling of press and media. And in fact, I would say her manipulation and genius behind all of this, her work ethic, her talent, her perseverance from a very young age, those combinations of what we talk about preparation, opportunity creation, are absolutely rampant. Even how, you know, she's able to dance, to be able to sing, to produce, to go and interact and move with some of the biggest people. She's a fantastic businesswoman. That's what it takes. And even, you know, obviously gorgeous. This is a big part of it. Sadly, that is the industry that we are living in. Even I'm finding these conversations very interesting about kind of sexuality and image when I'm working with younger artists, because it's going, hey, sadly, this is a part of the industry. But the good news is you can choose how you put yourself forward. You can choose what you want to offer, and you can choose what you give to this somewhat unforgiving, crazy, strange machine that can be the internet online. So this is, again, the privileged conversations I get to have with a young woman I'm currently working with. And it's just fascinating to see her perspective on these things and how important all of these factors are. And again, whenever I speak to Isabella, got caught in between two names then. But whenever I speak to Iz, as I did this morning, you just cannot crush the spirit. There's nothing I can say that's true. I'm not trying to be cynical. I'm not trying to be negative because I didn't get where I want to be. No, I've got over that. I grieved over what I didn't achieve in my career, in my life, mostly. And I'm trying to move on and be a better coach, be a better human being by giving people the truth and giving people the steps. So that's what I'm going to attempt to do today. And again, a lot of it might reflect on what I've talked to about, you know, what I've talked to is about this morning, but also over time, how I'm seeing the plan for her going. And then I might check that with some of the things I've seen to work, some of the people that have done really good jobs in particular areas. But I'm going to go through how I see your plan being put into place this year. So the first thing is your music. I was going to talk about this a bit later, but Jerome said this fantastically because he took me through, you know, we had a couple of hours of this conversation, plus this plan I'd kind of knocked up when I first went to see Iz and her family, and they kind of went, hey, can you help? Can you do this? Can you stand behind her career? Can you push her? What does she need to know? And all of these questions I was kind of having to field and realize, oh, I do kind of know this. I always undersell myself. As I said, when I'm coaching people, I don't really talk about marketing, particularly social media marketing. I can talk about careers, but even hesitantly. Whereas this year I realized, wait, no, I do know this. And it reminds me of Kia Kemp, who is doing the spicy segments with us, his book, Obsession, where you realize that you don't think you're learning everything about business or careers, but you are. You do have that experience. And then even when people were asking me questions, as I said, when I was in Los Angeles, I went, oh, I think it's like this. And they went, cool, that makes sense. I was like, oh, you do know. You do understand how this works. Again, I've had a career that didn't work out. And I go back to that idea of it's not one thing, it's everything. So before we talk about the depth of the plan, and as I said, Jerome went through this fantastic layout and he kind of compared what I had and he added some really insightful things, but we both agreed, I won't do his accent because it's just fantastic. Very, very funny guy, very smart guy. But he said, none of this matters if your music is not great. Like, great is the minimum entry for a chance at a career. And I think I have to stress that because it can seem like there's so many other things. And if anything, those that run your Instagrams, TikToks, or anyone that will take your money will tell you that, no, it's just about posting more. No, it's just about this. It's just about that. Anything to avoid the fact that you need fucking amazing music if you want to have a chance of connecting with people. Let's take this for a second. How are you going to get people to buy your t-shirts, to enter your ecosystem, to go to your shows, to check out your content, to be interested in investing in your career, whether it's through time, money, or both? How the fuck are you supposed to do that if your music is not fantastic? So that is what I want to start with. Before we talk about a plan, before we talk about anything else, your music has to be drop dead fantastic. And we'll talk about maybe a bit about how that is relevant with your plan. But I want that to be the underlying thing. If you're going to write anything down, write that down. Same to Alex Garingas. He said, your meetings will go better if your music is fantastic. It's not just your music, right? It's which we'll get into in a moment, right? But it's just what you bring to the recorded product that you are offering to the world that will form the centerpiece of your brand, your ecosystem, your live shows, and your music. It has to be fucking fantastic. So I'll leave that one for now, but you cannot say I didn't say that. Let's get into the plan. Roughly, this is how we see it. you might have 6 to 8 songs that you release during a calendar year, or when you start the 12-month clock on your plan. 6 to 8 songs. You release them every 6 to 8 weeks. This isn't necessarily new, but it's important because it's not just having those songs ready, but per song, right? This will give you an idea of what you might need to have ready. Per song of those 6 to 8 you release, those 6 to 8 weeks kind of breaks that you have, right? You need to be a couple of months ahead of each one. So then suddenly, if you're following me, you're going, ah, really, it's an 18-month thing, because it might take me 5 to 6 months, depending on how much time you have, how much money you have, what teams you have around you, which we'll talk about in a moment. You might need a lot of time to get these things ready, get them into the pipeline to be released. And again, you have to address all these things and going, well, per song, what do I need? Likely you need a music video. Likely you need a combination of short form content, both planned and also giving yourself time to batch shoot and do ad hoc things for Instagram, for TikTok, for YouTube Shorts, for Facebook Reels. All of these things to be planned beforehand in some way. Iz and I are currently going through the process of building this castle, because it's difficult. You have to build it brick by brick. You cannot bite off huge chunks at a time. But building this plan started when I started talking to Jerome, started when I had those conversations with Lala, and even when I was challenged to go, well, what would a plan look like? I go, well, that's a good question. What would a plan look like? Again, so per song, a music video, combination of short form content, you would need photos, probably for each release, particularly a theme, a scheme, a feeling that will dictate your content as well. So think about, again, this is where all the work comes in, okay? It's not easy, but visually, what does it look like, this song? What is it about? What things can you add to this? And I think there's fantastic examples. We looked at Olivia Rodrigo, we looked at Tate McRae, we looked at a number of artists that we felt did a great job. This is particularly in their Instagram, right? But if you look at their releases, there's a color scheme, there's a vibe, there's a visual, there's a theme, there's something that comes with everyone. And that will color all of your music video, short form content. You might have a press release for each song. If you're lucky, you might need to go and do interviews. You might have to have these kind of individual photo shoots. It's all up to you as to how much you want to put into each song. And of course, you need to write it, you need to record it, you need to mix, and you need to master it. All of these things, hopefully ahead of time, to give yourself enough time to prepare it all, to start that idea of kind of pre-release. Very much now, it's more like release and promote. So again, whether you used to be kind of a couple months of pre-release and then in a month of release and you start a new one. Whereas maybe now it's like a very short amount of time pre-releasing and then it's out and then you have to promote it. And I would say to tack on to each song, you probably want to have a live show, even if it's just an open mic, right? But play your music and make sure you're filming it, and it's exhausting. Even me, just trying to run my coaching, trying to run my podcast, like I can I exhaust myself thinking everything I need to do needs to be recorded or filmed, right? I can kind of step away from some of these aspects of being an artist because I don't need to have such a strong presence on short form media. It would be smart, it would be great, but I'm not designed for that. That is my shortfall. And if anything, that was probably my biggest weakness when I was trying to be an artist, was the fact that that was not something I liked. It didn't gel with me and I was not good at it. But that is not a good enough excuse for me. When I'm working with Iz now, I have to say to her, hey, I was bad at it. Look, I suffered. And the key here is, how do you find your way of doing all these things? How do you find your way of coming across, of recording your music, of getting like behind the scenes content? And as we're talking about this kind of grander plan of, you know, 6 to 8 songs a year, plus everything that goes around it. And there are some fantastic people like Social Media Iaz is his handle. Check him out. He's fantastic. I always push people his way when we're talking about the specifics of how you put a campaign together for a song. So go and check him out. But around this broader range of what we're doing, it can be difficult because there's so much you have to think about and so much you have to consider. And even if we want to move on to what's called an EPK, this is often what comes, you know, before you're even in the battle of making sure you're up to date with content and releasing things. Like I said, everything kind of has to be ready before you do this because you can't necessarily do it on the run. It's very hard to, and you might need to schedule a lot of your social media posts. If you've got a job, you might need to make sure you have enough time to go and produce, to write, to get everything ready, okay? So it's not easy, but even before that, Something I'm currently working on with is, which is difficult, is called an EPK, electronic press kit. And it can be very simple. It can be a very simple PDF that just shows your vibe. And again, I would really recommend that you do like a mood board for your brand. What do you wear? What do you say? What locations are you to be seen in? Where do you shoot your music videos? What language do you use when you're writing songs? What's your short biography of where you're going? What have you done? What live stuff? Who is attached to your brand? Who can say good things and nice things about you? This is all what an EPK formulates. And just go on, literally go on Google. I went with Ears and I said, hey, this is one I did for my band, or Jan did for our band, Maggie Cassidy. And he had a great example of that. Let me know if you want a copy of that. I can shoot it out. Or even Nikki Keeney is a fantastic artist I've talked about and worked with before. Her and I just, I need to check it out now, but we were talking about the importance of an EPK and she fired one back at me and I went, okay, cool. This is a great start. And she had, you know, a really strong picture of her that is how she wants to be represented. I can't stress that more. Amongst all of your music, amongst all of this plan, it's how do you want to be represented? And Nikki's example was really cool. It was like a purple vibe with strong picture of her that had kind of some of her live shows, some of her accolades, and it was very much her. So it, again, it's not easy to do, but once you do all this work for an EPK, which is very simply, if I can make sure I get it right, font to be considered, photos, bio, social media links, website, all of these things take a lot of work, as you can imagine. But once you get them going, they start, then you have, that's the basics, right? If you go on the EPK on the internet, you can see like you can have really complex ones, you know, really simple ones, but just think, that initial work of your quote unquote branding, which is really like, I think the best way, at least how my brain works, is like do a photo shoot. If you nail a photo shoot, you're going to give yourself so much information to go, okay, cool. This is what I feel like. This is what it looks like. And this is the way that it would be translated. So the EPK is a really important part of that as well. This all folds into the work you do before you put these songs out. So if I'm all over the place, because it is all interconnected. And hopefully, once I finish this episode, maybe listen to it again, you'll see, oh wait, this is all an ecosystem. This is all a big plan. So we've got 6 to 8 songs a year, released every 6 to 8 weeks. I would also say like playlisting is really important, making sure that, again, everything is prepared so you can give it the best chance to get a playlist that will help you. And it's not all about playlisting, but it's definitely important. And when I was in LA, Katy Perry was doing this speech before Michael J. Woodard came on, and she was saying, which is quite funny to hear her say, it's like, if there's any playlisters here in the room tonight, stick this on, put this EP on those playlists. And you think, you know, even she understands the importance of these things. And that's another reason, as I said, to be prepared. So 6 to 8 songs, every 6 to 8 weeks. Each of these songs has all of these constituent parts, which are difficult once you get going, they're difficult. But to do this work on your EPK, electronic press kit, your brand, your mood board, to do that work early while you're writing the songs, and this is exactly what I'm doing with Iz. We are writing songs, we are putting together her image, we're putting together her vibe, putting together her brand, and also I'm checking in with her, how are you doing? I said to her this morning, no matter what happens, the most important thing that we talk about anytime is how are you doing? And that has to be something that is true. And even that, like the failed management ventures I did, it was always that. It was, hey, how are you? And it sucks, you know, especially when you screwed things up and you'd like for a project to have gone well and they didn't. And I learned far more lessons at a time than maybe I would have liked to. But now I go, okay, think about this again. How are you doing? Right? All of that comes together. And the next thing I'd probably want to highlight is this idea of your social media brand, your digital ghost. Again, this all springboards, like I said, off your visuals, off your EPK, off your genesis of your artistry. And particularly a note here is that it doesn't have to always be the same. And in fact, Jerome made this great point. If you have a year plan, make sure you're adjusting every 6 months minimum. Every 2 or 3 months, every time you release a couple of songs, like, are they doing well? Are they hitting? Do you need to adjust something? I love that too, is that if you have a plan, don't be completely rigid, but make sure that you are analyzing. You're looking at what is working, maybe what isn't working as well. So with this, we're at that stage now where we're going, okay, write the songs, prepare everything, get your branding together. And the social media is so important. And even a conversation I had this very morning with her is, hey, do you want to start a new Instagram just for your music? Or do you want to go back and look at what you already have and maybe adjust it, make it a public profile and clean this up accordingly as to how you want to be represented? And again, we looked at Tate McRae. We went, maybe that's a little bit too sexualized. You know, she's older. She's got her brand. She's got her thing. Whereas we found Olivia Rodrigo's page. You're like, this is the vibe. Kind of like vampire Taylor Swift. That's the vibe. And obviously, Taylor Swift is a great example too. But I think with Rodrigo, we saw a lot more of a similarity between what Izzy's style is, the way she wants to be seen, what she wants to do. And even as we said, how you put yourself forward in terms of your sexuality, because it's such a big part of the music industry that even me talking about it, it's like, well, yes, it's awkward. Yes, it's strange, but it has to be talked about because it's just so prevalent. If we don't talk about it, it's going to become a problem. We've seen where that goes before. But again, talking to young artists and even older artists, you know, when I speak to them, even some of my male artists, they go, hey, dude, like, what are you thinking? How do you want to put yourself forward? And them kind of talking about, oh, well, maybe I do want to get a bit trimmer. Maybe I want to come and show up like this. I go, hell yeah, sounds good. Because it's part of their brand. And I even said to Iz today, whatever you do on your social media, on your branding, make sure it's an amplification of who you already are. We can create these cool avatars like La La Luna talked about and having like a slight change of character of yourself, like kind of melodramatic version of you, which I think is clever. When I was talking to Iz, I very seriously said, hey, whatever you do, whatever you want to do, make sure you enjoy it. She was going, oh no, I love doing this. Like, I love this outfit. I love this vibe. She had some really kind of nice artistic photos as well amongst some kind of very, I guess kind of endearing real moments, real people in her life. I think, you know, you got to keep that too. But we take away some of the things that maybe aren't relevant to your brand as a musician. And even encouraging her, because she's going to be heading out to Paris for a week. I said, hey, when you're there, this is this pressure I talked about earlier, wherever you go, you feel like, oh, I need to be doing this stuff. But even now I'm realizing, oh, should I be filming this right now? Possibly. Well, I'm not. We'll see. I said to her, when you go to Paris, just try. Because again, it's kind of easing into these things. Like I said earlier, like if you're going to do social media, do it in your terms. And even this idea of when you're in a nice place, don't over egg it and ruin the experience of your nice place, but go, hey, while you're there, can you get a couple of videos? Can you write a few songs? Can you just get maybe just some footage of you like noting down in their journal? She's a fantastic writer as well. Does everything. So strange, this person. Fantastic human being. But you know, maybe get a picture of yourself while you're in Paris, like the classic coffee shop stuff. And yeah, it's a little bit kind of put together. It's a little bit staged, but we talked about, hey, you'd be doing it anyway. Why not make it slightly dramatic? You don't need to feel bad about it. You're not doing anything weird. Just lean into it. Who are you normally? Amplify that. That would have been kind of my thoughts so far on branding in general. And I think curating your social media is very important. And even we went, hey, what's your handle? What's your name? If we type your name into Google, what comes up? Boom, her YouTube and her Instagram. So we go, okay, cool. Well, that's fine. And what's the bio? What's the color scheme? You know, at what point do you want to kind of start posting differently? And when do you want to start putting music stuff up? How do we do this? All of these conversations to be had. And very simply, I think of it like a shop window or an ecosystem. And La La Luna is a great example of this as well. Check out her page. Her website's awesome. It's got everything you need in a website. It's got all of the categorized, color-coded releases as well, and all of the content that goes with each release. And I was just blown away. I talked about it on a recent help desk, but just blown away with her progress and detail and thought. And again, she's sitting and going, I'm in this beautiful place. I'm going to do a music video with wild horses. It's like, you are crazy. Like, so cool that you have the presence and the hunger to do that. If you can do it, do it. And we've all got these beautiful phones now that we can make use of content. Because again, I'll hold my hands up. I'm not someone you'll see online a lot, nor really ever. And that's hurt me in some ways, but it's brought another balance that I'm kind of interested in. Whereas sadly, maybe not sadly if you like it, which I'm seeing, it's just my projection. But sadly, as an artist, you pretty much need to be very, very available in terms of your content. And a quick note on the type of content. We talked a lot about short form content, but Jerome said something really interesting that UMG and Sony at the start of this year invested a lot of money and time into long form content. Returning to the days that I grew up with where you kind of got tour diaries, you've got studio diaries, and those being a really important part now of the major label picture. So if you like YouTube, as I'm kind of more partial to that, how can you express yourself through longer form content, through YouTube, these things? That was a great conversation to have with Iz, and realizing that if you like film, if you like the theatrics, you like art, if you're filming your meetings, if you're filming your travels, if you're filming your studio sessions without kind of interrupting them, or if someone is there to help you, you're going to be having some great content, which very simply allows people to just live in your world a little bit longer, sit in your ecosystem. And, you know, I'm 100% affected. I can remember a lot of the tour diaries that I watched and how informative they were, and maybe just want to be in bands and do all these things that, you know, seem glamorous when you see a tour documentary. It's not glamorous touring, but fantastic memories that seem like a different life in some ways. But that's also a part of it. So yes, per song, you need to have all this slightly toxic and tiring short form media, which I recommend keep at arm's length. And like I said, do it in your way, amplify what you already do. Don't necessarily just do what trends are doing, but also take time to enjoy the longer form stuff. Maybe you want to do like interview yourself. Like Lala talked about this. It's other ideas I talk about. And yeah, this podcast is long form content. Clearly people still want that in their world. So do you want to start a podcast as part of your brand? Go for it. Hit me up. I'll tell you how it works. And that was a kind of, again, I know I'm running into this because there is a lot to talk about, but that's just the overarching aspect. And a kind of couple of more finer points, I guess, would be your team. Because everything I've mentioned here, you can do it on your own, but I've seen people drive themselves crazy trying to do all of this on their own, like write, produce content, planning, executing live shows. It's a lot. So do you need a team? Some people it'd be their family, some people it'd be their friends. I'm part of a number of teams, whether it's hired in or by virtue of just knowing these people and being able to advise them or write with them. And sometimes I'm just a writer, sometimes I'm coaching, sometimes I'm producing, sometimes I'm coordinating. And essentially as an artist, you have a number of roles to fill, and then it's whether you want to fill them yourself, whether you want to pay someone else to do it, or whether you kind of feel like you can get away without it, which I would say is going to hurt your chances. It's worth doing the right things first. You don't need to do everything all at once. But what I'm trying to talk to Iz about, which is, I think, daunting, and we laughed, you know, I sent her a plan that I put together and I said, I hope it's sufficiently daunting. And she went, this is definitely daunting. However, doesn't dampen her spirit. And if anything, it actually charges her up more, which is quite rare and impressive. So she's a bit of a unique human being in that sense. And I think it's really cool to work with someone who has the energy and the drive, and I'm doing my best to be there to guide and help her avoid the mistakes you don't need to make. Because there are some mistakes you need to feel and learn and bring as part of your career, but others there are not. So that idea of having a team might look a bit like this. You have a content team, whether it's you or it's a friend that can help, but it's someone who kind of shoot, plan, edit, and post. Then you would have the classic, you know, songwriters. Again, if it's you, fine. I work as a kind of hired in songwriter, or I songwrite for other people in some senses too. And it's songwriting. Then you've got producing. And again, production teams are huge. They're so important. I love to be brought in as part of that or to see it work, but they're so, so crucial to an artist's career. Then you have the mixer and you have mastering. Again, these are all things you can try and take on yourself. And I would recommend you have a good understanding of all of them so that you can coordinate a team better, or so that you can save money, or so that you can avoid people coming and sharking and ripping you off, which does happen to all of us. And it's a lesson that you don't need to learn, I think. I think it's one, if you have a good understanding of things, you can try and avoid. And then you have the marketing aspect. Again, if it's someone coming in and giving you a plan, it's also someone giving you the ideas as to how you create content. Again, social media IaaS is fantastic in terms of getting people off the start line with ideas and great examples. And you can do it kind of group coaching with him, or you can be with other artists for that accountability, which I think is golden. And that's just the start, really. Then you have the whole live aspect, which it is part of your plan as an artist. And I would say tentatively, play as much as you can. It's not helpful, but even 12 times a year, that's awesome. Maybe every time you release a song, do a show and then get that filmed and cycle that content. And it is endless too. I think maybe that's the thing I want to get across truly, is your music will make the difference. So you have to take the time to do that. And of course, you don't have to have everything a year ahead. Jerome talked to me about an artist who had not only had his plan being rolled out for his EP for this year, but had the whole of next year's EP recorded and ready. And that's awesome. But you can obviously be a human being and have those things done as you go, in a lot of senses, as an independent artist, you have to. But if you can get it planned, it really helps. And having a great team around you, understanding the music is the thing that's crucial. And also, if your dream is to one day play stadiums, you cannot assume that that's going to happen for you. And you cannot assume that you're not going to have to play all these little shows and clubs. But I think with the internet now, there's a lot of that you can avoid. There's a lot of that you can save yourself money and time and pain on, which I know all of those shows, from the worst to the best, I've felt them all. It's a lot of bad ones before you get anything cool. But also picture that as part of your plan. The next thing is time. Be realistic with how much time you have and adjust your plan for it. Sorry. And the best way to do this, I think, is start to be honest with your schedule. And you might have this to-do list, this plan, if you've been writing it down or thinking about it or kind of applying it to what you're already doing. But think that a to-do list is infinite, as calendar is finite. So start to plan things in and see how much time you really have and see how good you are at doing things in a time frame. And unfortunately, it's you versus you. Currently, I fight my calendar. So it's me fighting myself. That's how I get anything done. And I'm wildly inefficient still, but I'm working on it. And it's going, hey, how much time do I have? And what can I do with that time? Do I need help with it or not? But schedule it in and be honest, be kind, and get it done if you can. I want to bring up luck every time because it's something that I'm seeing is so, so, so important. Did a really cool podcast on it when I was in Los Angeles. Is not one of mine. I can't call my own podcast cool. I was lucky enough to be on The Drunken Taoist and had Rich and Daniele sit with me, try and pull apart this idea that anything in your career is going to come about through diligent, bull-like work. And that's the preparation half. That's 50% of your equation, is how good you are at the things you say you are. What's your preparation? Your practice time? Can you prove it to people? And then can you recreate that best work under pressure and then just go again? It's these cycles. I talked to Iz about that as well, is that you might write a song now about a certain subject at 14, but write this one now and do the absolute best that you can, because you might want to come back to this subject next time you do an EP, next year, next time you release. That's fine too, but it's just getting your foot onto the start line and getting running, actually, getting up the stairs, pushing those legs. That's what it's about. And that's only half of it. The other half is creating opportunities for yourself through relationships, through active listening, through good energy, Socratic method, being a social seducer, if you want to call it that. You know, there's a fantastic Robert Greene book which talks about seduction, not in the sexual sense, there's that as well, but more of kind of how do you move through the world of society. And even more simply, I learned from my mum's therapist how fucking rare active listening is. And the Socratic method of like actually caring and turning up for people. Ministry of Presence, Rick Rubin calls it. But that will move you through the other 50%, which is who knows who you are? Who knows that you're doing what you're doing? And it can be digitally, personally, or professionally, those three networks that we all have in some form or another. So that is so, so important. And then finally, the six is the way I like to summarize looking after yourself. And it's sunlight, sleep, movement, mindfulness, diet, and relationships. Again, relationships pops up on both sides of that equation when we think about it. Those things are absolutely crucial. And I can now see the sun coming through the window and I need to go for a walk with my girlfriend to get some sun, because that really affects me. It really affects my positivity, my mood, what I'm able to achieve or not achieve later in the day as well. So I'm gonna get some sunlight. I'm gonna wrap this up. But remember, all of this is just a guideline. Take from this that you have to really think about everything if you want to give yourself the best chance. If you just want to do it for fun, good, take these things out and just enjoy the things that you enjoy. But the people that are out there really caring about what they're doing and really giving themselves a chance to have any form of success, however you define it, you got to take care of all of this stuff, and it's so difficult. So please don't think that I'm saying it's easy. I'm just saying if this is what you want to do, this is an idea of how to do it. This is the plan that I'll be putting into place. This is the plan that I didn't very well put in place before, and I didn't have fruits, didn't have success. So none of this is judgmental. It's me saying all of this is important, but mainly write great fucking songs. That is the key. So there we go. Good luck to you guys. I'm going to wish luck on myself from you, because I know that some of you kind people listen to this, so I feel confident doing that. Looking forward to working with Iz, looking forward to working with everyone that I work with, but particularly seeing how this young human being goes out and crushes the world of music in her own way. So have a fantastic day, and I will be speaking at you, into your ears, into your cars, into your speakers very soon.